Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to MTS Center, where the Florida Panthers have just defeated the Winnipeg Jets by a 4-3 margin. The winning goal came in a shootout that went numerous rounds, I believe 8 rounds altogether, and the Florida Panthers, on the second night of a back-to-back, have been the first team to come into Winnipeg and defeat the Winnipeg Jets, playing the second half of back-to-back in Winnipeg. I'm joined here on the Legal Curve post-game podcast by my colleague, Richard Pollock. Michael Remus is our technical producer. Richard, a game in which the Jets, if they simply didn't give the puck away, would have easily won this game. Florida did not show much in terms of an offensive punch, except for the self-inflicted wounds that the Jets really handed over to the Florida Panthers.
No, that's exactly right, Drew. I mean, this was a game that the Jets were the better team. They were the better team from the beginning to the end. They outplayed Florida. They basically doubled them in shots.
Yeah.
The final tally there was 44-23. They outchanced them. I think I had them at least at even strength. They doubled them in chances. I when you look at overall, Drew, this is a game that the Jets more than doubled them in chances. So, you know, overall, the better team lost tonight. But yeah, you think about it, and we'll break down the goals in a second. But you got to take advantage of these. You know, you were 3 points back. Washington's not playing tonight, as far as I know. So you're 3 points back of the division. You got a team coming in here whose game got pushed back last night, which rarely, if ever, happens in the National Hockey League. Got into town at 3:30.
Yeah.
Coming in, you know, Scotty Upshaw didn't dress tonight. And you got a team that doesn't have much in the way of scoring, really. You know, obviously they had a rested goalie, and their defense was, you know, looked pretty good and looked all right tonight. But overall, it's a game that this team's coming in. They're tired. They wake up. They didn't have a game day skate today. It's a game you gotta have.
They were ripe for the picking, yeah. As the euphemism goes, and the Jets let them off the hook. Let's go through the game and break down the goals. First goal of the game was scored at the 5:40 mark. It was Christopher Stieg with his 18th on the year. He's got 5 in 2 games against the Winnipeg Jets now, or 5 of his goals have come against the Winnipeg Jets, I should rather say. Christopher Stieg at the 5:40 mark. Off a Blake Wheeler turnover right sort of at the blue line. Just a textbook thing you don't do. Blake Wheeler tried to make a pass through the middle of the ice, cross ice in his own zone, intercepted by Versteeg, by Marcel Gauck. Gauck to Versteeg. Versteeg puts it in the back of the net.
You know, gosh, what happens there, Drew, is Mike Weaver, if I recall correctly, holds the line, and all they're really asking them to do there, all they're really wanting them to, the Jets to do, is put the puck up the middle. They're daring them to do that.
Yeah.
And Claude Noel will go to the film study and say, get the puck up the boards, and don't screw around in the middle.
That's right.
And they put the puck up the middle, it's a cardinal sin, the puck goes boom, in the net, 1-0. That first goal is so important. The Jets obviously came back from a deficit, but that first goal is so important. Gets the crowd going, gets the team confident, changes the way you play, especially a team that is tired from last night.
That's right.
And can back off a bit, and look what happens, and they're down 1-0.
They give, just simply by giving up that first goal, they give Florida life and think, hey, maybe we can do it.
Yep.
Maybe we can do
That's
it.
That's right.
And, I mean, it got worse for the Jets before it got better. At the 19:44 mark,
yep,
of the first period.
So, by the way, the goals in the end of the period are killing the Jets.
Well, absolutely.
Nathan Horton,
exactly.
Boston. And,
but, at the 19:54 mark there, after the Panthers had been able to kill off a 2-man advantage, I might add. So the Jets had them 5-on-3, and the Panthers were able to kill it off. At the end of the first period, Mike Santorelli off a Ron Hainsey turnover. Just an inexplicable play, and Ron Hainsey will be the first to tell you.
Yeah, Ron Hainsey will man up to that, and you know, he takes responsibility.
And I imagine when we get the post-game audio up, here comes Dave Minuk right now with the post-game audio, you might hear you'll hear about these turnovers, because they were the turning point in tonight's contest.
Hainsey behind the net, puts a puck off the skate, goes in front. You can't let that happen.
If you ring it around the boards, there's 15 seconds to go in the period, almost nothing bad can happen.
That's exactly right.
Almost nothing bad can happen.
You make a good point there in terms of the context. We're at the end of the period.
Yeah.
What are you doing? I mean, I think he was going to Enstrom on that pass, just checking to see he was on the ice there. Yeah, he was. Yeah. Enstrom was on the ice. So he was going to Enstrom on the pass. The puck gets tipped by a skater. Goes in front and they score. But you're exactly right. You got 15 seconds left. What happens if you put up the board, the puck goes down the ice? Nothing's going to happen.
Yeah.
So you have to know what the game situation, and you just can't make that turnover. That's 2 turnovers. They cost 2 goals. And we'll get into it, and we've talked about it already. If not for turnovers tonight, and I know it's an easy thing to say, but if not for egregious turnovers,
the Jets win this game handily. Because Florida did not create any offense on their own.
Nothing. Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, really,
they really didn't. Because, you know, I haven't had about 7 chances here. And
3 of those are goals on an even strength turnover.
Exactly,
that's exactly it. After 20 minutes, Jets were down. Jets were down 2-0 on the strength of those 2 turnovers. You know, Jets outplayed them in all aspects. They outshot them. by a 15-10 margin in that first period. So that was the only period that the Panthers showed any signs of life really at all. The Jets outshot them in the entire game. You know, the Panthers were tired. The Panthers didn't have much really going for them except for those two turnovers. To their Jets' credit, they came out strong in the second period again.
Absolutely.
You know, Nick Antropov with his seventh of the year at the 5:06 mark on a power play, assist to Kyle Wellwood.
Just a nice assist.
Nice assist. You know, Kyle Wellwood with a very nice pass to Antropov. He puts it in the back of the net. 2-1 Jets. Again, another period that they dominated. Outshot the Panthers 15-7 in that period. You know, did their job. Panthers, I mean, almost no chances. And on a night where, had they had some chances, Andrei Pavlik did not look his sharpest tonight.
No, he didn't look good. We'll talk about that in that third goal. But
that third goal was pretty bad.
Yeah, Pavlik, you know, didn't look, only faced 23 shots, looked shaky at best. You know, people at the game or watching on TV will realize that, you know, a couple of those late shots near the end of the game kept looking behind him. So he wasn't confident that the puck was in his pads. Overall, I think that, you know, it was one of the games that he was happy to get a W. And that's when you get into the idea of wins don't always mean you played that well.
No, exactly right.
It's similar to pitchers, and Rivas, well, we've talked about this before, similar pitchers winning in baseball. You get the win doesn't mean you play that well.
Yeah.
It means your team put up, you know,
enough runs to make him.
And so here he didn't get the
victor.
Win, mind you, but to the point of if he got the win, it certainly wouldn't have been because of his play.
Well, no. I mean, the Jets gladly. I mean, the Panthers, when the game went into overtime, the Panthers were glad to get that 1 point coming in here.
Absolutely.
And then,
you know, we said it because you win without the 1 point there, you're down. You win?
You're down 1 point.
1 point in the division.
That's right.
And now you're down 4.
Exactly. The Jets came in 3 points behind Florida, a team ripe for the picking tonight. If they clean win, and I mean they should have, and they very easily could have.
That's right.
If you clean win, you're a point back. Because they lose in the shootout, four points back. So that's a huge
three
swing.
Back Washington.
It's a huge swing.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly. You put Washington sort of your level with Washington if you're only 1 point behind Florida.
Yeah.
Instead, you're now
1 point. You've been 1 point behind both of them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Instead, you're now still looking up at two teams, and that's, you know, sometimes it's not even the margin so much as it is the fact that there's teams ahead of you.
That's right, Drew, and that's exactly right.
Jets finally tied it up at the 5:54 mark of the third period. Nick Antropov again.
It's a beauty.
Absolute beauty from Andrew Ladd on this one. Antropov coming in down the right side.
Great patience by Antropov.
Terrific patience. Everybody's expecting him to drop it back to the trailer. Instead, the defenseman plays the pass, sort of sacrifices his body. Antropov pulls it back from the defenseman. Simple wrist shot, really, from the hash marks there.
Right.
And, you know, no chance for Scott Clemenson. 2-2 game. Jets have all the momentum. Florida looked like they could have folded really at that point.
Yes, the crowd was as into it as it could have been.
That's right. And Florida hasn't shown anything to this point in the game.
Not
a
really.
Thing. I mean, it's 2-2, and Florida's lucky that it's 2-2. What happens is the story of tonight's game for the Winnipeg Jets. Not a minute later, 57 seconds
later,
on another terrible giveaway in the middle of the ice in your own zone.
Enstrom
this time. He was trying to hit Little with the pass.
He will try to hit Little. The puck bounced a bit, went over Little's stick. We're going to give Little a break on that because it looked like it wasn't a good pass.
Yeah, it looked like it was in the skates at the best anyways.
It went over a stick, Drew, but I think the bad ice. But I think, you know, that pass was an ill-advised pass. It's one of those passes where if you make it, we don't talk about it, but you better make it because if you don't,
about it.
The puck goes to
Versteeg.
He comes in, takes a wrist shot. Pavlik's got a habit.
Yeah.
But the chance should have never come to that to begin with. Pavlik should have bailed out his defenseman. Didn't. Jets fall back behind.
That's right. I mean, it was a simple wrist shot from Pavlik. You know, the middle of the sort of top of the circle almost. Pavlik gets a piece of it.
Trickles
behind him.
But you got to save that.
Yeah.
I mean, Versteeg is a stick handler. He's not. His wrist shots,
it was not a dynamic.
It's not a Vander Kane's
it was not a dynamic shot by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
Jets again. Now they're down 3-2. There's only about 13 minutes left in the game, and Florida again has got this boost. They're winning a game that they have no business winning.
Yeah, they're gonna sit and they sit back, and what they're doing is they're just trying to sit back. And I have to be honest. You know, Florida didn't play a very good game to get advantage of the turnovers, but. They don't make many mistakes, really.
No,
I mean, they were making too many mistakes.
You can't point to too many turnovers that the Panthers made, especially an exhausted Panthers team. They played. They looked like they were tired because they were tired.
Yeah.
A
couple breakdowns in their own zone that hurt them, but they weren't making any egregious mistakes that were blatantly going to cost them the game.
No, exactly right. And they were quite happy at that point in time to play to get that 1 point.
Well, no, I mean, they want to get before this, the last game broke down the last
I know that, but I'm still saying they were happy. Even then, they would have taken 1 point probably.
Yeah, probably.
Because they're playing back on their heels the entire time.
Probably.
The entire game, they've been dominated. 13:45 mark, Alex Burmistrov. He had a very strong game for the Jets tonight. Had some nice moves, controlled the puck, kept it on a stick very
confident,
well.
Played better defensively.
Yeah. On the left, he's down on the left-hand side he's on the right of Scott Clemens in the left of the ice. Yeah. A poor wrist shot trickles through Clemenson. Not a great goal, but a deserving goal.
Clemenson's got to have it, but Burmistrov played a good game. Put the puck on net, which is always a good thing, because he doesn't shoot a lot. Mm-hmm. The actual pass from behind the net by Mietinen to Enstrom was a nice pass. Enstrom got the read, found Burmistrov, who found some open ice from a right corner, right blue line, right top of the blue line to across into the right near the hash marks. Burmistrov gets it, puts it on net, and overall, I thought it was a very nice play. The Jets' goals were nice plays all around.
Yeah.
They were created by themselves more so than the turnovers.
And all of a sudden, it's a 3-3 game, and there's five, just over 6 minutes to go in the third period.
But, I mean, right after that, Drew, and just quickly review my notes to make sure I got the times right here. Right after that, the Jets made the – let's see where I am here. It's Florida. Where are we?
Right there.
Yeah, so, I mean, you have Florida getting a very good chance – by Christopher Stieg on a one-timer that Pavlik made a beautiful save on that could have been more trouble for them again. And I'm trying to remember what exactly – I got all these numbers down here, what time that was at. But in any event, he made Pavlik – I think that shouldn't go unrecognized. Pavlik just – he didn't play great, but a big save on Versteeg, which helped them get the victory. But overall, Drew, you get to that point where really at the end of the game, you mentioned all the time, both – the Jets want two. But they don't want to give up none. They want to get none.
Right.
So the teams both play for one, and they take the chances if somebody makes a bad mistake.
Exactly. And they both sort of laid back for the last 5 minutes. Both teams happy, content to go to the overtime. Played 4-on-4 in overtime. Panthers probably had the better of the chances. There was one that was sort of off the side of the post. Another one that Pavlik, in front, looked behind him, but he held on to it.
Probably didn't have the puck as much, but probably had the better of the chances. Yeah,
yeah,
I'd agree
exactly
with that.
Right. So game ends after the 4-on-4. Goes to a shootout in the back and forth. It went about 5, 6, 7, 8 rounds, somewhere around there. Jets had a chance to seal it, couldn't, and eventually it was Michael Samuelson for the
nobody could
for
score
the Florida Panthers.
Nobody could score. You get to when you watch from here, you get the advantage of seeing how the bench works. I don't think it's from what I can see.
Yeah.
These aren't very well thought out shootout picks. After the first few, I mean, I was watching the bench, and Noel just leans over and taps Mietinen on the back. He's going on feel, and I like the pick because you're trying to get Mietinen going. But, I mean, that's one of my issues with the shootouts. I mean, the coaches and players don't even take him that seriously. They realize the chance involved in it, so they're just trying to go with a gut feel and things like that.
Exactly right. And I mean, it could have gone any which way. Worth talking about from the Jets side is the time on ice. The following three players did not play 1 second in the third period. Eric Fair, who started the game on the top line with Blake Wheeler and Brian Little, played 9 minutes and 31 seconds the entire game. None of that came in the third period. He had that after 40 minutes. Patrice Cormier played 3 minutes and 55 seconds in the entire game.
Let me get in there for a second because he draws a penalty.
Yeah, he drew a penalty.
I thought he was good on the forecheck. I thought when he played, I thought things happened again. I don't know what the –
I think about Fair. I thought he played a good game and had been playing well. He was good on the forecheck, had a few shots. You think maybe he was hurt?
Well, we're not privy to the report, so we don't know. But
I never heard anything that he was.
But I don't think Cormier was hurt. As far as I didn't see any place where he got injured, but I thought when he was on the ice, he did good things. And you see a bunch of the guys on the ice who haven't done that many good things, and you wonder why this guy can't get on the ice a little bit more.
Very true. I don't think there was any injuries involved. I'll tell you why. Because it was both Fair, Cormier, and Thorburn who didn't play any in the third period. Chris Thorburn only had 6 minutes and 37 seconds in the entire game, all of which came in the first 40 minutes.
And he had a good chance earlier in the game on a turnaround shot that he just almost got his first goal of the year. Other notes, other ice times of note, Drew, would be Zach Bogosian, first game back, leads the team in ice time with 25 minutes and 19 seconds.
Yeah.
Didn't log any shorthanded time, which is interesting to note, but logged a big 6 minutes and 8 seconds on the power play. Have him out there with Enstrom for the most part.
Yeah.
You have Brian Little. See, this is what we like, Drew, and we've been talking about this.
Ride your horses.
Brian Little, 24-22, and Blake Wheeler, 22-48, and I like that. And Enstrom played 24-24. So there's your top... your two top defensemen in ice time and your two top forwards in ice time. And I to be honest, those are your two best defensemen who are playing tonight. Those are your two best forwards who are playing tonight.
Yeah.
Give credit Claude Noel for that.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, he definitely short on the bench, and part of it could very well have to do with the fact that they were down going into the third period. So maybe he does have to shorten the bench, but it's odd that a guy like Eric Fair starts the game as your first line left winger and ends up not playing a second in the third period.
I would agree with that. There was most chatter in the press box. People were wondering when he's going to get demoted to the fourth line. Also of note, Drew, I thought that the Jets, and they won 60-40 on draws today, but Jim Slater was winning draws at a 71% clip and Brian Little 66%. They noticed they were completely dominant all night. They were dominating Steven Weiss, who came in at 33% all night. So that was a good
Marcel Gauck 37% for the.
Yeah, I mean, Gauck wasn't great. I mean, in terms of puck possession, the Jets dominated. They got 44 shots to 23. They dominated in chances. You play this game, you know, probably 7 or 8 out of 10 times. With the chances as they are, the Jets are going to win it.
You're probably right, but you know, at the end of the day,
but they didn't.
They didn't because they gave out. They had three bad turnovers in their zone that directly led to goals.
And what was the problem with all three? Pucks at the middle.
Just don't put the pucks. If they keep the pucks to the boards, it's a whole different game. It's probably a relatively easy Jets victory in that case.
Exactly. Yeah, the pucks. I mean, and people listening at home, This is you learn this when you're 7 years old.
Absolutely.
Don't put that puck up the middle. You better be darn sure. And if you're not, you're going to pay for it.
And
I'm sure it's going to be out in the video tomorrow. You know, what the hell are you doing with the puck there?
Yeah. And I mean, it's not one guy you can point at. When it's Enstrom and Hainsey and Wheeler, and Enstrom and Wheeler being probably two of your, you know, at least in your top five in terms of players on the ice.
Hainsey's a top four defenseman?
Yeah. I mean, look, sometimes you have bad games, but it's really odd and really inexplicable that you see three of those in one game.
That's right.
And it cost the Jets tonight. And
it cost them a point.
They can very easily have to look back at this in April and say, this is one that got away when they're not good enough to let any get away.
And it's not just one point.
No. It's two. This should have been a clean victory for the Jets.
And it's the two that go to Florida.
That's right. It should have been a clean victory.
So if at the end of the day, you know, they should have got two, and they ended up giving two to Florida, and they get one, there's a lot of points on the board that could have been switched around there. And, you know, what could have been, should have been, whatever it may be.
Full credit to Florida for taking advantage of the opportunities given to them.
Full credit to Florida, but this was handed on a platter today, as far as I'm concerned.
I agree wholeheartedly with you. No argument from me at all. That's it for tonight on the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. We remind you, listen next Saturday, noon to 3, the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. You can follow us on Twitter, at Illegal Curve. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Illegal Curve. For Richard Pollock and for Michael Remus, stay tuned for more post-game audio from the dressing rooms. And tonight, Florida Panthers 4-3 victory over the Winnipeg Jets.